Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everyone. This is Adam filling in for the Amazing Velvet. I believe Dr. John is on here somewhere. We're trying to get him on. But right now I'm sitting in the chair filling in for the Amazing Velvet, who's a little under the weather right now. So all our prayers, love, and admiration goes out to the Amazing Velvet today. We got a great show for you tonight. On the line right now, we have the one and the only Todd Saxton. We also have Papa Strobe. But first off, Todd, how you been doing, man?
Man, dude, I'm doing great, Adam, and just pleased as much as always to go ahead and be here on the show, since Papa Strobe would give me grief if I used my, doing Supernatural Outstanding and Static Fear thing for the other show. But, be great. Glad to be here and looking forward to the show. Adam, big thanks for picking up the hosting duties, brother.
Well, I'm a bigger man than Velvet is, and hopefully I know I can fit in the shoes, but my feet would stick out a little bit. But, you talk about Supernaturals, and we're talking about wrestling tonight. We can't talk Supernatural and wrestling without having the one, the only, the maestro of professional wrestling, Papa Strobe. How you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, great. Great to be here. And in continuation, the question I'll ask off here, how are you doing, Adam? It's been too long, brother. Miss you, man.
I'm glad to be back on my feet. I got hit with the COVID bug a few weeks ago, and, I'm finally back on my feet, doing good, back in school, trying to get smarter, trying to get the brand a little bit out more. So, yeah, I'm doing a whole lot better, sir. Thank you for asking.
Oh, anytime, man. Great to hear, man. Great to have you, Todd, and everybody with us here tonight, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a great show tonight. But we got a great story that we're going to be hearing tonight. So I'm going to jump right in. Stroh, it's a gentleman that we both know. Todd, I hope you hear a great story tonight from this man. But I'm going to have to introduce him the way that I used to introduce him in Battleground Championship Wrestling. Ladies and gentlemen, the American Diesel Dump Truck. Dump Truck, welcome to Pro Wrestling Interviews. How are you tonight, sir?
What is up, brother? What is up? Thank you for having me. Papa Strobe, what's up, baby?
Dump Truck.
Too sweet.
Oh, man.
How you doing, brother?
Man? Great, man. Every day is a good day, man. Alive and well. I hope you're doing good.
Yes, sir. Another day that you can take a breath on this beautiful planet is a good thing.
That is exactly true. That is exactly true. Well, let's jump right into it. Me and you've had several conversations before about your professional wrestling career and everything so far. So let's just go ahead and start from the beginning. Where did it all begin for you?
It all began about, now it'd be almost nine and a half years ago in Fountain Inn at SCW at a flea market. And I was taking bumps in a ring that it didn't have no canvas, no cushion. All it was like, what's the wood that looks like all of it, particle board? It had particle board for the wood on the ring, and it was all curled up from the weather and all that. That's what I learned to bump in. Manny Fernandez and James Hamby, they brought me, funny thing, Manny Fernandez, he taught me how to take bumps and all that, but his original reason for coming down to train Dump Truck, well, he wasn't Dump Truck at that time. He was going to train me on how to be a redneck. Manny Fernandez.
How do they train you to be a redneck? Anyone's met you knows exactly. How do you train someone that already lives that life to be that?
Exactly. If anybody knows me, they know I'm redneck, white trash, blue collar, all the way. And they brought Manny Fernandez down to help, I guess, get the more hillbilly gimmick mm-hmm. out than redneck. You know what I mean? Because apparently there's a difference.
That's awesome.
And from there, and I bumped in these rings, and I think back when I was a kid, my grandma working at the Krispy Kreme in Spartanburg, right beside the Memorial Auditorium. And every Saturday night, that's where wrestling was. If you liked wrestling, you was at the Memorial Auditorium, and you were pulling for guys like Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, Ole Anderson. Adam, I've told you this a million times. Till I was 6 or 7 years old, my grandmother told me that Arn Anderson was my father. And I believed that. I believed all that. And I was like, dude, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's in my blood. I would watch people say stuff about my promos because apparently everybody thinks I love doing promos. And I would watch these old Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, Horseman promos.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go to my mama's bathroom and stand up on the cabinet and look in her mirror, and I would imitate that whole promo. And now you
know you still go in front of the mirror and still cut a promo. You know you still do.
I do. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. I do. You got to stay on top of that kind of stuff.
It is, and that's one thing that I wanted to also talk about is during this COVID pandemic time where, and a lot of people didn't know this and a lot of people didn't do it. Some independent wrestlers did it, but where there was no shows, you joined a couple promo feds on Facebook to sharpen your game up more. What was your experience dealing with that?
That was one of the most awesome experiences ever. Like, I went pretty far with that. Like, I was number 4 in the nation. It was like you said, it was to keep my stuff sharp. Because, I get in the ring and I wrestle and everybody knows I got health problems, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but the promos, it's the storytelling. You know what I'm saying? The promo is like, I think, like 85% of the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And the wrestling and the dance out in the ring, that's the rest of the story right there.
Oh,
when you do your promo, you've got to tell them what's going on, what you're going to do, how they're going to get it, when they're going to get it, if they're going to get it, when they think they're going to get it.
Exactly.
And that's what I try to do. I mean, I love this stuff, man.
Papa Story, since we're talking about promos here, and in your opinion, is a match better with a great promo, or do you not need to have a great promo to get a match?
Oh, a match could always use a great promo. I mean, gosh, I mean, what better example could I give as of recent than the promo to set the Full Gear with CM Punk and Eddie Kingston the other night on AEW Rampage? I mean,
that got a little personal.
Yeah, that segment itself would entice you to want to see them so bad at any event. And all they did was just do the promo segment, and the excitement, the energy was just, like you said, was so up. I mean, it will entice any fan or anyone for that matter watching to, hey, I got to check this out, you know, to see if they can sell the score, you know. So, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly, and that's how the NWA was in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna lie. When Stroh was fixing to give an example, I thought that he was fixing to say the Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan match, the promo the Ultimate Warrior did.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely. At the time, there were two top guys in the world. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that promo told the whole story, and I think that's one of the best promos ever, in my opinion.
Oh, totally. You know, that there was great storytellers outside the ring. You know, Dusty, Rick, you know, we talked about Arn. Your grandma said Arn was your daddy. You know, he was a great storyteller outside the ring with promos and inside the ring. So, yeah, I totally agree that a great promo can make a match and also bring a match. Todd, what's your opinion on this? Give me a little of your insight on this.
Oh, sorry, I was playing with you, but let me tell you, one is promo. Watch anything Roddy Piper ever did. And, because that was it was about go to the kitchen. You're preparing one of your favorite dishes. I don't know if any of you have ever made gumbo, but let me tell you, you start with that roux, you get that flour to the right color, and you drop in that Trinity, and it starts creating the smell. And all it does is make you anticipate what is coming as you continue to add the layers of the flavors of what you're creating for that dish. That's what those promos are. Man, when you finally sit down and get down to eat, but it helps create that anticipation. And the more flavor they can put in the air before you get to eat that dish, yes. A promo is like smells of a good meal cooking in the kitchen.
Very nice.
You know,
I was going to add also
that mentioned Arn Anderson, and then when we're talking about promos, it was because of Arn Anderson's promo that we had the Four Horsemen. I mean, he pretty much named the group his promo. So,
You know, I mean, we talked about that, and you know, Dump, you have a very I'm sorry, when we first talked about it, even when we talk about it now, it's kind of emotional. Can you tell us a story on how you won your first, how you won the APW Heavyweight Championship and what it means to you and the history behind it? I believe we talked about your father.
Yeah, that's, yeah. My first APW Heavyweight Championship, it was very, very special. Because my whole life, I told my dad always said that I wouldn't get into wrestling. I'd let girls and drugs and all that take my life, and I would never do that. I would never be a heavyweight champion. And, I finally did become a heavyweight champion, and it was after my father died that it happened. And see, it means even more now because just this recently, like 2 weeks ago, I won it again. And I'm damned if it wasn't like 8 years to the day that my daddy died, I won that championship again for the second time. And it means a lot that I finally accomplished that. And it means even more that I accomplished it again because it was something that even though my dad's not here, I can share that with him. My brother was in the crowd. My mama was in the crowd. My now new wife was in the crowd. My daughter was in the crowd. And the place was packed. I mean, there was standing room only at this joint. And I finally won the heavyweight championship again.
Very nice.
And I'm telling you, it didn't feel as good as the first one, because the first one, it's like it meant so much more, because it was like right after Daddy had died, and it was just affected. And to finally sit there and look down and be like, and we all know behind the damn curtains, you know, okay, you've done good. Yeah, we're going to drop it on him this time, because this one's got to be somewhere else next week. And they, you know what I mean? But it makes me feel good. It was special. And I'll never forget that. Never.
That is awesome. It sounds like that's my good buddy Steve Logan. Is that you, bud?
Oh, hey, just glad I could be on. Adam, please continue. Thanks for hosting, and been listening so far. But, please with your questions.
You know, I mean, just like always, you know, it's like just like it is with Papa Show. I could sit and talk with Dump Truck, you know, so much, you know, just catching up. But in your so let's go ahead and talk about your career a little bit. Who have you been in the ring with so far in your career? Who have been some of your favorite opponents to work with?
I've been in the ring with – I've been fortunate to get in the ring with a lot of good people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's been – I've been humbled enough to be in the ring with Buff Bagwell. I used to sit at home and watch him on TV. And here I am giving him the two sweet, you know, NWO. That was awesome. I marked out. I'm not going to lie, I did. Because, I mean, in my mind, here's how it is. If you're a wrestler, you had to start out as a mark. You were a fan before you were a wrestler. So, I mean, at one time, all of us were marks, if they want to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's see, Buff Bagwell, the Barbarian. This is another one. We sat in the locker room at APW, and he told me that I remind him of me. Adam, I cried. I sat there and I cried like a little girl when he told me that. Dude. He got up and he hugged me. He was like, "It's okay. It'll be okay." And he got up and walked off. And I was like, "I can't believe this has happened to me." And then there's people, L.A. Tank.
L.A. Tank's a big contributor and a fan favorite here on this show.
I have the utmost respect for that man.
And I can tell you, in my locker room, when L.A. Tank pays you a compliment, it's always great. And which you talk about L.A. Tank. It kind of segues into the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about. You said earlier tonight, health issues. If I remember correctly, you have asthma, and you go hard in the ring, but no one would ever know. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
You know, because the famous triple threat match that you had with L.A. Tank and the Amazing Velvet, you know, it was absolutely great. Me and you have actually sat and watched the rematch over, like, excuse me, the replay over and over and over. We're still talking about that power slam.
I watched that match just the other day. I can't get enough of that match. That has to be my, if I had a top three, that'd be on that top three.
Of course. Of course. I mean, it was an absolute wonderful match. And me and you have actually had the pleasure of going sparring back and forth, never going into the ring, but just war words. But talk about some of the other experiences you've had at other places. You said you were at APW. You've also come work for me in Battleground Championship Wrestling, and it goes on and so forth. You've had some clowns for that. You know what? That's a great story. Please talk about clowns and APW real quick.
All right. I have a phobia of clowns. I was thrown into a cage match. It was me against six clowns. They pretty much had their way with me and painted my face up like a clown and all this other kind of stuff. And it's just, I've always had a phobia of clowns. Well, I was working a show in Spartanburg. It was UCCW. And it was like a benefit show. And I was going outside. I was main event. So I was going out to the car to get my can of dip. And I go out the back door, walk around the corner, and there's this big, huge clown walking toward me. I didn't know what to think. So I turned around, and I run back in the building. There's a big clown here. Yeah, what am I going to do? He's here. I didn't know of Squeaks at that time. And all there was is, if you've ever seen Squeaks, he's huge.
He's a big boy. He really is.
He's huge. And now he's been going to the gym and working out and stuff. And now he's even, like, bigger. He's scary looking. But we ended up being a tag team, and a pretty popular tag team, if you ask me.
That's right. Ice Cream Truck. That's right.
Yes, sir. Until COVID hit, Ice Cream Truck was fixing to take over in North Carolina. And then COVID hit, and it's shot all to hell now.
All right, wait a minute. I got to ask. Sorry for the interruption, but wait a minute. You had the phobia of clowns, and you had a clown tag team partner?
Yeah.
It's like you buried the headline there. You realize that, right? There's got to be a story. What's the backstory?
It cleared me to it first. But I don't know. It was like, we had this match, this benefit and everything, and the storyline was I got jumped by these bunch of guys, and Squeaks was the one to come out and save me. That was the promoter's little rib to dump truck because he's scared of clowns. Well, how about let's have a clown go help him? He won't have no other choice but to acknowledge him. You know what I'm saying? And then from then on, we started tagging at like different places in APW and up at Adams at BCW, and we went to Orangeburg at Shiki's, and we went all over the place, and we started getting shirts and stickers, and the kids started loving us, and then we come out with this Ice Cream Truck music and all it, and Ice Cream Truck was it.
It was. It really picked up. But the one thing I want to know, What's with squeaking the bone that he carries around?
We were somewhere. We were at APW, and they wanted him to go heel, and we were in like a battle royal, and they were thinking of some way for Sweets to go heel, and we couldn't find a crowbar or a chain or nothing. There was this old big dinosaur bone, or not dinosaur bone, but like one of the big bones, like the big bones you let the dogs chew on.
Mm-hmm.
He took it home, cleaned it up, wrapped duct tape around it, and he just started carrying it around to the ring with him.
Oh,
and now,
man.
Now he's got shirts that says, Walt Bone.
Oh,
or
Lord.
You got the like that.
That is crazy. One of my co-hosts here, Steve Logan, he might have a question for you, dumb truck.
Yeah. Forgive me if Adam's already asked this earlier, but what's the origin behind Dump Truck, the name?
Actually, that's a funny story. Well, not a funny story, but it's a ha-ha, get back at you thing. When I first started at APW, there was a lot of people there that really didn't want me there. And really the name Dump Truck was given to me to make fun of me and try to discourage me from being there because they didn't think that I would be over, and they got mad when the fans started cheering for me and I was over more than anybody there. And I kept Dump Truck. I just flipped it on them. They wanted it to be do it to make fun of me. Well, I made it a household name. I've even been in touch with Ginger Billy. He sings a song called Truck Gang. Well, I've been in touch with Ginger Billy, and I'm trying to. We're in the middle of him rewriting and redoing Truck Gang for Dump Truck. A version of Truck Gang for Dump Truck. And
Whenever
he gets done and everything, I'm going to get him to come out and sing me out live.
That would be cool. That would be cool.
Yeah,
what do you think is next? For Dump Truck, what do you think is next for you? What's your ambition? What are you looking to do next?
I don't know because nobody, a lot of people don't know this, but some people do. About a week or so ago, I hurt myself a little bit. I was doing a fall away slam, and when the guy jumped, I had to readjust because of his weight. And when I got him over my head at the top, it's like straight up, and my back popped. And I thought it was just regular, you know, it needed to pop.
Right.
Well, I threw him over my head, and I took the bump, and I felt something else pop. And I'd say for about 8 or 9 seconds, from my waist down was like it was asleep.
Ooh.
And it scared me. It really did. And we ended it right then. Like I pushed my upper half up enough to where Duke could claymore me and me lay back, and he pinned me 1, 2, 3. And I went to the emergency room, and I've been out of work this whole week. And I haven't wrestled. I had to give up the heavyweight title because I got 2 herniated discs and a slightly fractured spine.
Ooh,
and,
man.
Yeah. And so I'm supposed to go Friday to get checked out and everything. I'm hoping that, you know, I've been doing like I'm supposed to, icing it up and between ice and heat, and been doing everything I'm supposed to do, taking it easy, not lifting nothing, none of that. So I'm hoping it says everything's all right and I can go back to wrestling. But until I talk to the doctor, I really don't know. This is my last year. And I told her I don't know about all that because they steal some stuff I got to do.
What kind of stuff do you need to do? I mean, what's your ambition? What are you looking to do? To get out there more, maybe try to take a shot at getting to AEW, Ring of Honor, Impact?
Like to do at least like one AEW dart. I don't have to be on TV. I don't care about being on TV. I just to be like, you know, I did it. You know what I mean?
Because
mean, January I'd be 44 years old. I really don't have. I know Ric Flair is almost 80 and he's still rocking and rolling and honored in them, but I don't know. I really want to keep going until I just can't go no more. I want to be able to stand up straight and see my daughter get married and graduate high school. And I want to be able to stand up straight with me and my wife finally, you know, do anything, you know what I'm saying? But
right,
I really don't know. Right now, I'm just taking it easy, enjoying life, and still working out. So
there you go.
I walk
there you
on
go. And it's always something good to have. But don't try. Thank you for coming on today. I want you to stay on the line. We still got so much more to talk about tonight. But once again, thank you for coming on and tell us your story and everything. But please stay with us. We got a big weekend coming up, guys. You know, Full Gear. We talked a little bit about Eddie Kingston, CM Punk, but, man, what a stacked card it's got. Papa Show. What match are you really looking forward to besides Eddie Kingston and CM Punk?
Oh, gosh. It's going to be a stacked card. You got Kenny Omega, Adam Page for the Heavyweight Championship, and which that one's been a long time coming one. FTR and I think the Lucha Brothers for the AEW Tag Team Championship,
that
which, you know, FTR... Yes. FTR is currently the AAA Tag Team Champions. You got, the champ, DMD, Britt Baker, Cantante. She's defending against Cantante.
That should be good.
Yeah.
Danielson and Miro. Oh, man, that one.
Yeah, the finals, yeah.
I mean, I would have loved to seen Moxley, but I understand you got to take care of yourself, got to take care of your health. But Miro and Danielson, we think Eddie messing up Danielson was bad. Miro's going to take it to another level.
Oh, absolutely. And, gosh, you know, Danielson, since his debut with AEW, has been put on some stellar matches as of late.
I totally agree. I mean, even the even with him and Kenny Omega, you know, it was absolutely phenomenal. But AEW has just been putting out so many good matches. I mean, just one after another, you know, and having some of the, I don't want to call them older guys, but more of the seasoned guys putting, not really putting people over, but showing them up, like Darby Allin and CM Punk. Man, what a great match that was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just just anything. And I think AEW has just made everyone step their game up, especially, you know, and, you know, earlier this week, a lot of names were released being gone. And one of the big names, two names that everybody's shocked about is Keith Lee and Karrion Kross. Do you see them showing up in AEW or Karrion Kross going back to Impact? I mean, it's coming up.
Yeah, that'd be interesting where those two will lead because both of them are very talented performers in the ring, and you cannot help but believe that they'll show up at AEW or some prominent promotion because two hot tickets right now, and I think both Keith and Karrion could do great at AEW. I could honestly see them doing well there.
I totally agree. Also, speaking of release and dates coming up, Wyndham Rotunda. Man, could we see him show up at Full Gear? I think it'd be awesome.
And it makes you wonder with the whole situation in the Dark Order. I mean, you know, now they have the alliance there with Adam Page, but say, for instance, if Wyndham Rotunda were to show up on the mix, how would he interact, you know, with a group such as the Dark Order? You know, so a lot of interesting scenarios there.
I know it's this Saturday is a must watch of all the pay per views that AEW has put on. This one, I mean, the last one they had to beat, you know, at the debut of Adam Cole and then the debut of Bryan Danielson. Full Gear is going to do a lot. Todd, are you going to be able to watch Full Gear this weekend, or have you got any excitement for it?
I got to tell you, I have a bunch of pay-per-view in a lifetime.
Well, this is a good one to be introduced back to.
I don't even have cable. And I know there's a lot of ways to get it. I'm well aware. But, I mean, that's just kind of the way I've gone. I checked some stuff online, and that's about it anymore. I know I'm bored. Kind of the way it is.
Oh, man. Well, since we have him on the line, I know exactly. So tell me, what are you looking forward to it? What is there a particular match you're looking forward to, Steve, or what?
Mentioned earlier, but obviously Kingston Punk after that promo. I think Darby Allin and MJF could have a show stealer. Danielson and Miro. I think those are going to be great. Adam Page versus Mega. Yeah, it's a really good card overall. So.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely looking forward to checking that out.
And since I got you on here, did you catch UFC 268 last night?
Yeah, Colby lost by decision. I need to go back and watch the card. I heard the other fights were pretty good, but I saw that Colby was asked about AEW in a press conference after, and he kind of knocked AEW and called them second tier, and he knocked like American Top Team, who, like, he was asked about, and said he would probably be more open to WWE, and wouldn't surprise me if he gets into wrestling at some point. I heard he worked with Impact a while back. I'm not sure about that, but, it was a good main event, I'll say that, and if I check any more out, I'll let you know.
The beauty of it is I hadn't been able to watch UFC in a while. I was able to watch that last night, and when Colby came out to Kurt Angle's music and Madison Square Garden in unison started yelling, "You suck," that was the greatest thing ever. If you go back and look at that entrance, that was absolutely wonderful. I was fixing me something to drink, and I was just like, is Kurt Angle there? Because it started playing the music, and without a beat, Madison Square Garden just started yelling, "You suck."
Yeah, I've seen them use it before, but it was it's definitely neat to see a fighter use the pro wrestler's entrance music, and yeah, Colby's like their one of their top heels, I would say, or villains in UFC right now.
But also, Steve, you and Papa Show are our Japanese wrestling fans. Did you see what was dropped? That is it Okada is going to be wrestling Murphy here pretty soon?
Yeah, I believe so. Buddy Matthews, I believe, is what he's going by now. I think it's going to be in California. So that should be a pretty good match. And I'm kind of surprised that Matthews didn't get signed by AEW, but him working in New Japan is pretty cool.
I'm so psyched for that one. I can't wait to watch it.
I think that one's going to be great. And then all the title changes that happened over the weekend in New Japan was kind of shocking to see. Kenta winning the New Japan United States title. What do y'all think about that?
Oh, man, I was so happy for him, man. I've been such a big fan of Kenta for quite a while.
It's good to see him actually being able to, I hate to say, to shake off the WWE smell on him. I hate to say it that way, but, like, he's finally back to the Kenta that we all knew and was ready and thought we would see in NXT and the WWE. So with all these big releases that's happening with the WWE, a rumor is going around saying that it's a possibility that they could be selling. Is this their way of, like, just cutting the fat? Papa Show, what do you think is going on? Do you think NBC buys the WWE?
You know, they're making record profits right now, even with all the cuts and everything. So I still don't see them going out of business or selling right this yet. I mean, I don't rule it out, though, down the road, of course.
Yeah.
But right now, I still think they're pretty much well in the game. It's just it's a business strategy they're doing right now. And like I said, they're making record money right now. So as long as the money's coming in, you know, I don't see them going out or selling out anytime soon.
Well, since me and you really haven't talked in a while, with Trevor Murdoch winning the NWA title, that's been a long I'm so happy for him, you know, especially his tribute to Harley Race when he did win it. What'd you think about Trevor winning?
Oh, man, it was fantastic. I mean, I've always had a lot of respect for him. Great wrestler, and I really thought even in his time at WWE, I mean, he could have done a lot more in, you know, they allowed him to, because, I mean, he's such a great talent, and I'm great to see him get his props of NWA and become an NWA world champion. I mean, that's a huge, huge honor, and I couldn't be any happier for him, and I'm excited to see where he takes it from there.
Me too. I can't wait, because, you know, he's putting out a lot of stuff out there, keeping it open for anyone, and, I mean, I still would love to see, you know, Trevor Murdoch can move the size that he is. I would love to see Keith Lee and Trevor going at it, but we know he's probably going to be all elite here soon. But, like, still, I mean, he's going to do a lot. Dumb Truck, seeing guys of a bigger caliber, not really muscle men, like Keith Lee and Trevor Murdoch doing, how does it make you feel being a bigger guy in the business? Does that inspire you more? Are you still with the Dump Truck? I guess we will. What do y'all think? You still there?
No, it's Steven.
Okay. What do y'all think about the new, you know, because we know Vince used to be an all-muscle guy. I mean, he still is to a certain point, but seeing bigger guys like Keith Lee excel and Trevor Murdoch and, you know, so on and so forth. How do you think that's – do you think that's good? You know, finally we're going back to the old days of the way they – it really wasn't all about the body. It was about your work. How do you – what do y'all think about that?
I mean, Nick Foley made it work years ago.
Yeah.
I thought the theme had some moments, but just there's way too many moments where they botched him, his runs. They kept botching his runs, and I like what really frustrates me this year is some of these releases like Bray Wyatt and Karrion Kross and Aleister Black, because you would think these are the characters that WWE would want to push, and then they just get released like right when Aleister comes, like gets, you know, a push, and then when Karrion is like rumored to get a repackage from the unnecessary repackage of the Gladiator suit. It's just, I hope Keith and Wyndham can, you know, get some opportunities soon, because I know they could probably excel despite their body image.
Exactly. And the way that Keith moves, you know, you brought up Mick Foley, who would do darn near anything to his body for the business. But Keith Lee is just something different. There's something different about him. And, you know, since I've been out for a while from pro wrestling interviews and also WCW Nation, I've just seen WCW Retro. This new NXT, I can't wrap my head around it. I can't. I've tried. I absolutely can't. I mean, I love to see Rick Steiner's son going at it. I love seeing the Usos brother doing his thing, but I just can't wrap my head around it. I mean, it's wrestling on TV, but it's like, you know, what happens next? You did massive cuts, and are they bringing in younger talent to fill those gaps? Do you think that was a smart move to do?
It's not a bad thing if they have seasoned talent to work with and they keep cutting the seasoned talent like they did with Bobby Fish and guys like that. And it's just, they have Ciampa, they have guys there like Gargano and Samoa Joe, but it's just, I don't even feel the need to watch it because, you know, like these releases just happen. It's like, I know it's talent that they're going to probably give a chance because it's under new management, but I just have very little interest to watch it. Like, I heard Braun Breaker's good, and there's still talent there that I like, but it's just, I prefer the Triple H NXT presentation.
I totally agree.
You know, I want to segue into that, what Steve was saying. I mean, it's good to build new stars, but at the same time, you need to have your seasoned veterans around to help elevate these new stars so they can be watchable and presentable as well. So, I mean, you got to have a healthy balance there, you know what I mean, to keep the viewers' interest up.
And,
I like
and having the... Go ahead.
I like Gigi Dolan. I think she could be a singles star later. But Adam, please continue.
And Papa Stro, with having all that young talent, it's got to hurt the locker room because, like, now you don't have a locker room leader. You know, you might have Samoa Joe. Do you think that hurts them a little bit, not having – you know, we talked about having the veterans there that they can learn from, but not someone to run the locker room, someone that they can run to and say, what did I do wrong here? What did I do right? How can I work? Because they have no interaction with the Raw or SmackDown, so they can't sit down with a Paul Heyman or a Roman Reigns or even Big E now to know what they did wrong. So do you think with the cuts and bringing in that young talent that they don't have that locker room collaboration anymore?
Well, if you make a locker room mostly young talent, I mean, it's like the blind leading the blind. You know, you got to have some type of guidance. So that's why it's important to have the seasoned talent there to help, you know, be the locker room leaders and to help guide these young talents to, you know, where they need to be.
Mhm. Mhm. It's so amazing that, you know, that they don't see that. But you know, let's switch over to Raw and SmackDown right now. I mean, Big E is doing his thing as the WWE champion. Do you see this going further, or do you think right now the way the Raw and SmackDown rosters are, there's no really a person that really could? I know he's working with Seth right now, but is there anyone that could hang with Big E right now? Because Big E is on a roll. He's been waiting so long to get to that spot, and now he's there.
Well, Big E, you know, he has the potential to be a great run as heavyweight champion, and I'm really happy for him. I mean, it's really, honestly, I feel like it's been long overdue for him. And, you know, I think the type of competitor Big E is, I mean, he can go with anybody, just like a Roman Reigns can. He can go with anybody of any style. So, which is great, because, I mean, to be a good heavyweight champion, you need to be in the ring with have great matches with, you know, talent of many different styles.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I really hope this is a good long reign for him. You know, I mean, and I'm glad he's getting this opportunity.
I haven't been watching, but I really wish AJ Styles would be in the top title picture again. Like, I know that Omos needs someone to guide him, but AJ Styles should be a top star right now. He's just stuck in a tag team, I think.
I totally agree with that. I will always be an AJ Styles fan. And I think him and on both the brands, him and Roman could have some great matches. I mean, and they did. And him and Big E, I'm very intrigued with that, you know, because Big E's flexible. He can fly just as well. But, you know, another question I have, since we're on Big E, do you think the King of the Ring, Xavier Woods, and I love Xavier Woods, do you think it was something given to him to be like, okay, the other two won WWE Championship, or could this be the possible split of the New Day coming soon where Xavier becomes that tyrant?
Oh, man.
Go ahead,
Steve.
I don't think they want to split. Like, they've probably pitched that before, and I don't think they're interested in splitting up. I know Big E is solo, but, yeah, I have doubt about New Day splitting up. But I thought Finn Balor was going to win King of the Ring.
I did, too. I really did.
That brings you know, that's an interesting point. I mean, I'm like Steve. I don't see them splitting up anytime soon. But I mean, the possibility of him breaking out on his own as King Xavier, I mean, that's it could raise a lot of eyebrows. I mean, and I really think as talented as Xavier is, he could really carry it. going forward. So, I mean, if that were to happen, I mean, especially now that he's appointed Kofi, Sir Kofi, in his kingdom, right? it would generate a lot of heat for him, I think, if that were to go that route.
Oh, of course. But Xavier getting a high title right now, as you want to call it, it's well overdue. You know, Xavier has been a phenomenal talent. All three of them have. And it's finally, finally a good thing to see all three of them excel in something. Because it's well deserved with Kofi Mania, to Big E winning the title, and now King Xavier. I mean, those three could be the face of your company, no matter what. And true blue talent that you can put out there. And know that they will put on a phenomenal show for you.
Right. And I really think if Xavier keeps going like he's going, he'll be a main eventer by himself, just like Kofi has and Big E's currently doing right now. I really feel that.
True. Oh, yeah. Well, it looks like it looks like time's about to run out. Papa Strobe, tell me what's going on with WCW Retro this Thursday.
Well, this Thursday is preempted to next week. Next week's WCW Retro will be continuing our What If series. We'll go back on that. It's been pretty popular in the last couple weeks thus far. And this Friday night, the reason being I'm going to be on set this Thursday for a horror short film, so I'll be able to do this
very
show,
nuts.
Unfortunately. But next week's will be What If on the WCW Retro. But this Friday night on the horror show, sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. The midnight feature for this Friday night will be The Ghost and Mr. Chicken, starring Don Knotts.
Very nice. That was a good Don Knotts. We still got a couple more minutes. Steve Logan, you got anything to say out there for right now?
A couple of local shows this month on the 13th and the 28th for UEW in Henrico, Virginia. Definitely recommend checking out their brand. Thanks for having me on and talking wrestling. Always appreciate getting Stroh's insight and hearing the guests.
Awesome. Todd, do you have anything to add?
I want to throw in happy birthday to Marine Corps in November, Veterans Day coming up this Thursday. And big thanks to my wife coming up spending a week with me. We got some road time in, and we got to all colored out again.
Awesome. Speaking of happy birthday out to one of the co-hosts that we didn't get to hear tonight, Dr. John. Happy birthday, sir. I hope it's been a great day. This Saturday, Full Gear, loaded card from Hangman Page versus Kenny Omega, Danielson versus Miro, The Elite versus America Top Team. Just a jam-packed card. Once again, we want to thank Dump Truck for coming in and talking with us, telling this great story. We loved every single thing. Thank you, Papa Strobe. Thank you, Steve Logan. Thank you, Todd Saxon. I am Adam Helms, and we will come back next week with you. This is Pro Wrestling Interviews.